Along with Charter 77 and the Committee for the Defence of the Unjustly Persecuted, the Czechoslovak Helsinki Committee was a key dissident organisation in the communist period, pressuring the government to adhere to its human rights commitments. Today, the Czech Helsinki Committee is still active, advocating for people who often feel that they have nowhere else to turn. I discussed the committee's work with its director, Lucia Rybova, but I first asked her about the reasons for its establishment way back in November 1988.
Originally, there was International Federation of Helsinki Committee who invites other states who sign it, this declaration and also the covenants, to set up National Helsinki Committee to monitor whether the state they keep their promises. And that time, because it was difficult to make a kind of civil organization, so it was so in 1988, a group of the critical thinker and leaders who were also this most of them they did sign the Charter 77. They decided to set up an informal group who would monitor how the treaties, like the Covenant of Civil Rights, are kept by the Czech Republic.
But wasn't Charter 77 also kind of inspired by the Helsinki Accords?
Generally, yes. There was thinking whether it's better to set up the separate Czech Helsinki Committee or to maintain just the group within the group around the Charter 77. But because of the practical reasons, there were different organizations set up. But the people were the same, like Václav Havel, Jiří Hájek, and other people who were the signatories.
But they were taking quite a big personal risk being involved in the Czechoslovak Helsinki Committee.
Sure, it was risky, and it is risky until now.
But in a different way, because you don't face imprisonment or harassment by the police, I'm sure.
Not imprisonment, but I think there are ways how you can be, discouraged to get in some specific cases.
Really? How is the Czech Helsinki Committee today discouraged from becoming involved in particular cases?
There are many ways how you can be discouraged. The practical one is that you are not supported by the state, by informations, by funding, and you are ignored. So your proposal to change amendments to the law or your analysis are ignored or denied, or you are requested to get more data, which is very difficult sometimes because you need access, you need money to make an analysis who are critical to current policies.
If we could step back in time a little bit, if we speak about the period before 1989, what was, would you say, the main achievement or impact of the Czechoslovak Helsinki Committee? I was reading a quote from Bishop Václav Malý, and he said that the Czechoslovak Helsinki Committee was another nail in the coffin of the previous system. What do you think was the major achievement or impact of the Czechoslovak Helsinki Committee?
It was the first organization who reminds human rights as a value, who teach the public that there are international instruments. Czechoslovakia is also obliged to follow, and that those instruments are vital to their normal life. So they were educating the public, educating the states about their obligations.
In 1990, after the fall of communism, the Czechoslovak Helsinki Committee was officially registered. A few years later, it became the Czech Helsinki Committee. But why did it keep going after the fall of communism?
The Czech Helsinki Committee kept going because its mission was not finished, but it was in the beginning, because the enemy was not the communist regime, but the enemy was the state who did ignore the human rights which of the individuals in their everyday life. And this is the mission which are we trying to remind until now.
And what are your main activities today?
We are trying to help the groups which are the most vulnerable, and they are, not helped by other organizations. We are doing less the rights of foreigners and rights of refugees, because until now there are specialized organizations who did separate from the Czech Helsinki Committee, but still we have this group. But we are concentrating on the rights of prisoners, the rights of children of the parent who is in the prison, because the imprisonment affects the whole family And there are many, many children who cannot meet the mother or father who are in prison because of the money, because they are from the poor families. And the children are traumatized through the visits because the conditions or even the meeting places are not in the conditions that the children should see.
Is there overcrowding in Czech prisons? I was not under the impression that there were big problems with the Czech prison system.
Under the amnesty of the Czech president Václav Klaus, high amount of people in prisons was a big problem because it has an impact on rehabilitation, and there was not enough staff who would work with the prisons. So this is not the issue at this moment, but we think that if the policy, which the Czech state policy concerning, let's say, the imprisonment, it's kind of it's seen as the main punishment. If it remains without changes, we think that the number will be the same like it was.
I know you also work with Romanis and Romani rights. Have you perceived any kind of improvement in the area of Romanis, the treatment of Romanis in the Czech Republic?
I mean, there is an improvement in a sense that more institutions and more professionals are aware that there is a problem. They have a problem with access to many rights, right to health, right to housing. The only thing is that there are not clear visions and also how to implement those rights.
And every few years the government comes out with a new plan and it doesn't really go anywhere.
Yes, I mean the plans are on the table already, but they should be they should exist years ago. The thing is there is not enough capacity to implement them because of the resources and also to monitor them.
What other areas are you involved with?
There is one specific project we are involved quite a long time since the year. I'm personally since the year 2005. It's the case of illegal sterilized women, but now we know they were also men. The Czech Helsinki Committee drafted the law which could compensate the victims, but we have more and more people who are calling us for help, but we are quite unhappy because we are learning that these victims, they need help, concrete help, to get the documentation. They are again traumatized by asking the evidence and talking with the doctors. So they need concrete assistance, legal, psychological, and support. What they are getting it's just ignorance, or they are accused that they are asking just the money.
And I know you've been working on this legislation with the Minister for Human Rights, Jiří Dienstbier. How have you found working with him? He came into office last year.
For me, to work with Jiří Dienstbier, it's quite easy because I work with the team which I was part. I used to work for the Ministry of Human Rights, and I think he's an open person, and he is willing to the changes even, and it's... Even they are not popular. The only problem I see is that he is the Minister of Legislation as well. So the agenda he has is very large. And his team, who is concerning just the human rights, it's not big. And this is a weakness.
And also he doesn't have a ministry.
Yeah, this is the reality. I mean, he is the Minister of non-existent ministry.
And if we speak about the Czech Helsinki Committee today, the kind of modern version, the post-1989 version, what would you say have been your major successes or achievements?
It's difficult to say, but I think to keep the organization, that it exists and it's open to so many individuals who are asking for our help, it's extremely difficult. So we have lots of work, but because of the lack of resources, we fight for our existence. And I think there are individual cases. We've seen the results in terms of people. They feel they are not alone. They feel a relief.
And you're dealing with them at the very personal level.
Yes, sure. I mean, we are running counseling center, so they do come and in person they can share with the thing within which are for them as a trauma. And sometimes we are the last institution they try to talk. And at least if they have no capacity to help them, we give them time and attention.
And tell me, how do you find yourself personally working with these traumatized people? They come to you as the kind of last hope.
Many times I feel hopeless, as they feel, because I know with more capacity, with more stuff and more funding, we could do more, especially if they are coming us and they want us to represent them in the case of discrimination. And I'm sure that we could do more. We could defend them effectively. And also sometimes I feel we need to be patient, and we try to learn from those cases and to use them when we are creating or commenting on the law and policies, to use it at least on the systematic level.
Lucia Rybová, director of the Czech Helsinki Committee, was speaking to Ian Willoughby in that edition of One on One.